Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
I have a teaching today, and the teaching today is entitled, Can You See It? Can You See It? All right, so listen, let's open up our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And I want us to read out loud and together verses 1 through 3. How many are ready to get in the Word today? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Bear with me today. I know where I'm going with this. All right? And by the end of it, you're going to have an enlightenment. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Let's read this out loud and together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. All right, now listen, close your eyes, and let me quote this out loud, okay? Close your eyes. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Can you see it? Can you see? It's a little different. So listen, we've been learning about the authority and the power of God's Word. And we've been learning about how God used His words to create the heavens and the earth and everything in them. All right, so Psalm 33:6 said, the Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born with a word. All right, so every empty space, every void between heaven and earth was filled with God's words. All right, so He brought light to every shadow, and He brought illumination to every dark place with words, with His words. All right, Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. The entrance of your word gives light, gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of your word gives light. So any area, any shadow of doubt you might have, any area in your life where it seems like there's a misunderstanding or a miscommunication between you and God, or a void, come on, how many of you feel like sometimes there's a void between you and God, a distance, an emptiness? How many of you had an emptiness in your heart before? An area where you feel it's not fulfilled. There's something missing in my life. You know, and maybe you're working hard, chasing stuff, you're going after everything, and it looks like everything is working out for you, but there's something inside that's missing. And the Lord says, the entrance of my word will bring light to that place. It'll illuminate every shadow, every corner in your heart that feels like, man, there's just something in there missing. Right? The psalmist also said in Psalm 119:05, your word is a lamp to my feet. A lamp to my feet. A lamp to my feet means that it's His word is right here every step of the way. All you can see is your toes. All you can see is what's just under your feet. Your word is a lamp to my feet. And then He says, and a light to my path. Which means that His word will give you vision and insight in what's coming. How many of you know we need that? That along with the Holy Spirit who says, I'll show you the truth. I'll teach you all things, right? I'll go before you. So this is what the Word of God does, all right? So listen, for 6 days, God would continue to create everything that we have come to know and love with words. He did that for 6 days. Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. God said, everyone say God said. God said, let there be a firmament. That's a space. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament. Say firmament. It's kind of a fun firmament. Say it like 10 times fast. Firmament, 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 firmament. God, reel it in, Pastor Vic. Now, every time we say firmament, you're going to laugh. Anyway, He did it. He made a space and divided the waters which were under the space from the waters which were above the space. And it was so. So God said it, and it was so. And listen, that was the second day. All right. Well, God continues to create things with his words. Verse 9, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together and into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God said it, and it was so. Verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed in itself and the on the earth, and it was so. So God said it, and it was so. This was the third day. Verse 14, God said, let there be lights of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. You notice that God said it, and it was so. Verse 20, God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. Verse 22, and God blessed them saying, notice he's using words. God blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. Verse 24, then God said, notice he's still speaking things into existence. Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. So this was the fifth day. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So we have really the first mention of the Trinity here in creation. They were all involved. He says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, notice he's using words to bless them. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Verse 29, then God said, see. Everyone say, see. See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. So God said it, and it was so, and this was the sixth day. All right, so listen. When I was reading through this, verse 29 of Genesis chapter 1, this part jumped out to me where God said, see. This is what got my attention. And I want you to bear with me because I'm going somewhere with this morning. Let me ask you a question by a show of hands. How many of you believe that what we just read in the Bible about the creation story happened exactly as we read it? Okay, well, let me ask you this question. How can we believe that? I mean, how can we be? Listen, we can't understand it intellectually, right? You can't explain it logically. You can't figure it out logically. Man, how can we believe that God spoke and things happened? It takes faith. It takes faith to believe that. Amen? I want to talk to you about this today because, listen, the Lord wants to do something in our hearts and our lives so that we're not just saying we have faith, but we know how to operate in it. Amen? That we know, man, how does this work? How do we get the kingdom of heaven to be on earth in power? You know, how do we bring that creative power down? All right? And so we want to talk about that. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. Listen, we don't understand intellectually how that works, right? We can't logically figure that out. By faith, we understand. That's how we understand it. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Look at this next part. So that the things which are seen were not made with things that are visible. Yeah. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made with things that are visible. So listen, if the things which are seen were not made with things that are visible, what are the things we see now made with? Words. Words. Words are not visible. Come on, bear with me here. You're going to get something out of this. Listen, you can't see words coming out of my mouth with your natural eye. You can't, look at the. Now, you probably spelt that real quick, T-H-E. You saw that, right? I can write the on a piece of paper, and you can see it on a piece of paper, but the word the cannot be seen with your natural eye. It's not visible to your natural eye. Do you get it? All right, now look it. When I put words together, words paint pictures so you can see something. All right, check this out. The truck drove down the road. Can you see it? Check this out. The red truck drove down the road pulling a camper trailer. Can you see it? Yeah, see, look at words paint pictures. Words paint pictures. So God spoke words and the worlds were framed. The heavens were created by a word that he spoke. It takes faith to see that. It takes faith to see that because we can't understand it intellectually. Listen, let me tell you what the Lord wants to do. He wants to bypass our own intellectualism and our own logic so that we can stand on what God said. But if we can see it, we can have it. Amen. This is why it's important that we take time to read the word kind of slowly. You know, like we just did in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And light was. You can see it. You can't explain how it works, but you can see it. And because you see it, you believe it. Amen. The Lord is saying, see, see. What is faith? What is faith? Look at Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. A more literal translation would say that faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. Not yet seen. So faith is the substance. Faith is this substantial hope. Faith is this confident hope that what I'm waiting for is on its way, even though it's not yet seen. Yeah. Listen, let me tell you this too. Faith is not wishful thinking, church. Faith is not some pipe dream. All right, and we have to be careful because we're not putting faith in faith. All right, do you understand? We're not putting faith in faith. We can err when we begin to think that, or if we slip over into this positive confession theology, which suggests that if I only say positive words out of my mouth all the time, then I can force my life to change and control my destiny by positive confession. We don't put faith in that. Listen, we don't put faith in our faith. In other words, I don't put faith in what I can do. I put faith in what he said. Otherwise, we get into this messed up theology. It's a name it, claim it theology, and you never deal with the reality of where you're at. You walk in denial, but you're not walking in faith. Amen? And so there's a balance to this. So faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is based on something very tangible and very trustworthy. Faith is based on what God said. Amen? So the faith would say this. Faith would say that even though I'm not seeing it presently, even though I don't understand it intellectually, even though I'm not experiencing it immediately, I know that God will do what he says he's going to do. Come on, how many want to get there? Yeah. That's what it is. That's what it's about. That's faith. Let me ask you, can you see it? Kind of a trick question. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. All right, so listen, let me tell you what God's saying. This is what the Lord is saying to you today, and he's saying to me. The Lord is saying this, I want to get some things to you. And I have some things for you. There's some things I want to do in your life. but they're not visible to the natural eye yet. But if you can see it by faith, you can have it. Yeah? He's wanting to get some things. The Lord wants to close the gap between the reality of all of heaven's resources and our doubt and get things to us through the eyes of faith. Amen. Look at this now. Look at Joshua chapter 6 with me. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Look at this. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, everyone say see.
See.
I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. Now listen, Joshua is taking the children of Israel. The last generation died in the wilderness. Joshua is taking the children of Israel into the promised land that the ancestors never saw. And the first city that he has to conquer is Jericho. All right, well listen, Jericho's all shut up because of the children of Israel. You know, no one's going in, no one's going out. They're all locked up, all right? And God said to Joshua, see? And maybe he didn't even say it with a question. Maybe he said, see, like a command. I have given Jericho into your hand and the mighty men of valor along with the king. Listen, Joshua's just standing there. Nothing's happened yet. You understand? He's standing there. Nothing has happened yet. The walls of Jericho are still standing. The gates are all locked up. The king is still on his throne inside the walls of Jericho, same with the mighty men of valor. And the Lord comes to Joshua when nothing has happened, and he says, see? And I'm thinking, Joshua going, see what? What am I supposed to be looking for? What am I supposed to be seeing? Joshua couldn't see anything that God wanted him to see until God spoke these words. I've given Jericho into your hand, along with its king and the mighty men of valor. Words paint pictures. So listen, Joshua saw what God said. Listen, not with his natural eyes, because nothing's happened yet. Are you catching this? Joshua saw what God said, but not with his natural eyes because nothing has happened yet. Nothing has changed. But when God spoke these words to Joshua, Joshua was able to see Jericho, its king, and the mighty men of valor in his hands by faith. By faith. And we know the story. We know what happened, right? Joshua and the children of Israel, man, they had a strategy that they're going to walk around the city of Jericho one time a day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they're going to march around that city 7 times. And on the seventh day, they're going to blow the trumpets. They're going to shout. And when they did, all of the walls fell down flat. And they took Jericho. So the question is, what caused Joshua to march around that city? Listen, he saw something that was not yet visible to his natural eye. He saw what God said. And he believed it. Yeah, he didn't see anything with his natural eye. It's almost like you have to close your eyes to be able to see what God wants us to see by faith. Yeah, some of you here this morning have been waiting for a while. You know what God said, but nothing seems to be moving. And the Lord says, man, there is a substantial hope that comes with faith. That if you continue to keep your eyes focused on what God said and get your eyes off the circumstance and wait it out with thanksgiving and know that God's going to move in his perfect timing to bring things to you, and you just stand on what you see with your eyes of faith. Listen, think about Joshua. 7 days it didn't happen. Yeah, it would have been a lot easier if God said, Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand. Yeah. It would have been a lot easier. But listen, not only did Joshua have to wait 6 days, he had to lead all that generation to wait by faith. Listen, this is our obligation and this is a responsibility that we have as a church, that you have as a Christian. That we don't water down the word and we start speaking to the circumstance of something that hasn't happened yet, but we bring it back to what God said and say, this is the final word. This is the final word. Listen, God wants to get some things to us. He wants to do some things in our life, but they may not be visible to your natural eye yet. But if we can see him by faith. So what caused Joshua to march around that city? He saw something that wasn't yet visible to his natural eye. He saw what God said. He saw Jericho in his hands, and he acted on it. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, if you can see it, you can have it. Again, this isn't wishful thinking, right? Yeah, listen, there's something about us standing and putting all of our weight, all of our hope on what God said. Yeah, something's going to happen here. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Because we said, we quoted and we declared, if you can see it, you can have it. But the reality is what you're looking for, what you're waiting for, might not be seen. You might not be able to see it. You might not be able to hold it and touch it right now, right? Look at 2 Corinthians 5, 7. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. We walk by faith in what God said and not by what we can see with our natural eye. I mean, these are verses we quote all the time, but there's got to be a practical work to it. We walk by faith in what God said. There's a transition. There's something that is happening where the Lord is shifting something in our spirit where we recognize that, man, I'm going to walk by faith in what God said, and I'm not going to spend too much attention on what my natural eyes can see. And it doesn't mean we're walking in denial, church. Listen, it doesn't mean you quit your job and said, God said he'd meet all my need. I can see it. Yeah. No, go to work and see it. Do you understand? So listen, we're not going to take the word of God and use it as a scapegoat to be irresponsible. We're going to allow the word of God to put works behind what we're doing, thanking God. Man, yeah, I'm being provided for right now. You don't know if a raise or a promotion's coming down the pike in the next couple days. You don't know. And we apply this to all these different areas. So listen, we walk by faith in what God said and not by sight in what we can see. Well, listen, if we're honest, I think that most of us are living below our potential. You know, because think about this. It is so easy to just live only by what we can see with our natural eye. We just live in that realm all the time, don't we? It's easy for us to just live in this area that we can only see with our natural eye. But listen, today the Lord's calling us to something entirely different. He's calling us to walk by faith in what he said. Yeah. He's calling us to walk by faith in what he said. How many of you know it's important that you know what he said? Yeah, and you have a Bible reading plan. You know, getting the word of God in there. You know, and realizing this, that man, I'm going to shift. So listen, when the circumstance in front of you looks dim and grim, you know, something's happening in your life and it's difficult. And you can see it with your natural eye. I mean, it is real to you. You got bills coming in. You got aches and pains. You got diagnosed with a disease. I mean, it's real. It's not that it's not there. You're dealing with something very real, and it's impacting you, and it's affecting you. So we're not saying that we're not going to walk by that. We're not going to pay attention to that. No, we just got to find promises that address that. And then we can go to the Lord and tell him, Lord, man, I'm struggling with this. I have fear. I have pain. I have debt. My marriage is falling apart. I got an addiction I can't shake. You know, I got these things. And then you say, but your word says. And you begin to shift your language and begin to declare what God's word says. And sometimes you got to close your eyes till you can see it. Because if you can see it by faith, you can have it. Yeah. And it might not happen immediately. There's an endurance that needs to happen. Yeah, there's an endurance that needs to happen in us Christians in these last days, because Satan is out there. He's looking to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a roaring lion seeking whom may be devour. He knows his time is short, and he is out with a vengeance to derail you. And if he can take your faith and he can take your hope, yeah, you got to surround yourself with Christians that are going to speak life to you. Amen. We also got to make sure we don't give up on each other. Yeah? What happens when the fight's out of you? That's why it's important that we fellowship, you know? You're strong. You know, maybe you're strong and you're doing good, and then, man, or maybe you come in here because you're weak. You know? You ever been that kind of person that all the bottom falls out of your life and all of a sudden you're all into Jesus? And then you get strong, and then we don't hear from you for a couple weeks or a few weeks or a year. Listen, there's a consistency and an endurance, and it's this faith is going to work. So, man, if you're walking through something and you're struggling and you fall, man, you have to have Christians around you that are going to speak words of life and words of faith. Come on, LWC is a good place to be. Amen. The community of God is a good place to be. Yeah, we need each other. Listen, if you think you don't need the body of Christ, you are deceived. And proud. Yeah. The Lord called us to be part of community. Yeah. So we commit to that. We commit to one another. Amen?
Amen.
So we're being called by faith to walk by faith in what God has said. And let me tell you why the Lord is really impressing this on our heart. So that we will no longer be limited by what only our natural eyes can see. Come on, we're going to see stuff happen, church. Do you understand? There is a divine protection, and there's things that we can tap into, but Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Persecution will come, people problems. Trials and tribulations are going to come. The Bible says that in the last days, those will increase. The birth pains will get more strong before we're finally delivered once and for all. Yeah, and listen, I don't want to make this a big downer, you know, but the reality is we have to be geared up for whatever's going to come this afternoon, tonight, or tomorrow. Amen? Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well." I believe that the Lord spoke this to me when I was studying this out, and I believe he's speaking it to you because you can see it now. And the Lord is saying, "You have seen well." Look at this. "I'm ready to perform my word." He's in a ready stance, church, to perform his word and meet you at the cross road. Yeah? Everything that needed to happen happened at the cross, so all the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Amen? Everything. He paid for it all. The thorns on his brow. Yeah. You know what that does? It cancels out a poverty mindset. Yeah. Because before Adam and Eve fell, man, the earth was producing fruit all by itself. And when Adam and Eve fell, it produced thorns. What did Jesus do? "I'm going to take that curse of poverty. I'm going to bleed from my head." Where your poverty and your financial problem weighs on you the most. The anxiety and the stress that comes from financial pressure. Come on, church. Jesus said, "I'm going to bleed there. I'm going to take those thorns that were to curse you and cause you to live below your potential and cause you to have a poverty mindset." He goes, "I'm putting those thorns on my brow and I'm breaking the curse today in Jesus' name." Yeah. Blood in all kinds of different places. And every place that he bleeds is a promise of blessing for us. Amen?
Amen?
Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "If you can see it, you can have it."
Amen.
So listen, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I have put together a whole bunch of verses. And I have the soft music in the back because I want to read the Word of God over you while your eyes are closed. so you can see it. All right, so settle in a little bit. Settle in. Listen, my eyes will be open so you don't have to look over your shoulder and wonder what's going on. Let me read the Word of God over you. The Lord's speaking this. I'm going to start with some protection verses. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll hold you up with my victorious right hand. I, the Lord your God, hold you by your right hand. And I say to you, don't be afraid. I'm here to help you. Listen to me, says the Lord. I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime. Until your hair is white with age, I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along, and I will save you. When you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you won't drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Even the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then, my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant blessing will never be broken, says the Lord. I have mercy on you. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. I will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. I will cover you with my feathers. I will shelter you with my wings. My faithful promises are your armor and your protection. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. Behold, be sure to see, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Healing. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I will give you back your health and heal your wounds. Ralph Sharkey, says the Lord. Behold, I will bring health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. The Lord will strengthen you on your bed of illness. He will sustain you on your sick bed. Say this with me. I will not die,
will not die
but live,
but live.
And will proclaim
what the Lord has done.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Provision. Let me share this now. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. The Lord God is our sun and shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Say this to me. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
Let me speak scriptures of peace. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. Grace, mercy, and peace, which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with you as you live in truth and love. May God give you more and more peace and love. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, did you see some stuff? Listen, this the purity of God's word. Just reading it, releasing it into the atmosphere so that we can begin to see things in the spirit realm. Listen, these are promises that God said he'll do for us. Amen. Listen, we have communion now. I don't have any of these on the screen. I didn't have any of those on the screen. But how many are recognizing what the Lord is trying to get across to us today? Listen to me. For the last, I don't know, the snowstorms came. But just prior to that, you know, I was restless in my spirit. I don't know why. There was just something I was restless about. And when I begin to study even these verses that I just read over you and just, man, I just want to tell you, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And so when there's an unsettledness in my spirit, you know, an anxious heart, you know, have you ever been anxious? You know, there's just something unsettled. And man, I just would get up and just start meditating on the word, and I'm going to tell you what has happened in the course of the last 3 weeks or so. Man, your pastor is settled. I just feel settled under the word of God. You know, I don't feel like I'm striving. I feel that I'm having to press in on some things. You know, I'm feeling sometimes tired, like we all get tired. But there's something inside of me that is settled. Because God's word is absolutely faithful. Amen. Amen. I want to read to you Matthew 26. We're going to get ready to have communion together. And you can actually get the bread ready and all if you would like. This is the night on which Jesus was betrayed. All right? Jesus took some bread and blessed it. See if you can see this. This is a scenario that really happened. Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and he gave it to the disciples saying, take this and eat, for this is my body. Let's do that now. And then he took a cup of wine and he thanked God for it. He gave it to them and he said this. I love this. This is in Matthew's account. Each of you drink from it. Each of you. I love that. You know, because maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking that, man, I don't know if I'm worthy. Well, that's why he died. He's saying, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Then he says this, mark my words. I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. How many of you know Jesus is coming back? Yeah. And so this is like his farewell toast almost. You know, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to do what I've been called to do. My body's going to be broken for you. My blood's going to be spilled for you, spilled for the sins of the entire world. And we're going to drink this. And then when you all get to heaven and we get to be together in my Father's kingdom, we'll do this again. But until then, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Let's partake. So that happened. And then in verse 30, it says, then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. They sang a hymn. Listen, can we stand to our feet? I'm not the best singer, but I want us to sing a hymn together. Are we ready? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Let's sing it. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending. Angels descending. Bring from above. Bring from above. Echoes of mercy. Echoes of mercy. Whispers of love. Whispers of love. Come on, let's sing it out. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Father, we thank you that you are so faithful to your word. Your word holds creative, healing, delivering power. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is settled in our heart and in our mind today. Help us, Lord, to move out of this place today. Lord, not being in denial of the reality around us, but to look past what our eyes can see. Say this with me. Say, today, I declare I have a new reality. My new reality is in what God said. He has the final word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.